Morning. Welcome to the big class. That's why we use the big room for the big class. So, move this down a little bit. There we go. Lesson number seven. 7 out of 13. We're in the middle lesson of this series on Christian growth from James and Jude. So today's lesson is called Wisdom from Above. So my picture is what? The eclipse. There you go. A lot of wisdom passed down about looking at the eclipse this week, right? Basically, don't look at the eclipse. You know, you didn't look? You had to have glasses, and then they found out a lot of counterfeits out there. Used a mirror. You look through the back of a mirror, or did you look into the mirror? It was too bright. Yeah. Yep. It's the same. It's the same as it always is. If you try to look at the sun on any given day, you'll say, that hurt my eyes. I take pictures of sunrises sometimes, and the sun gets above 10 degrees. You can't take a picture of it. You can't do it. It whites everything out. And the eclipse is the same way. So we use some welding glass, and my nephew showed up with actually had eclipse glasses, but we just used welder's mask glass. And so to get this picture, I had my camera. I tried to put it on a tripod, but the tripod didn't point up high enough. So then I'm holding the camera, and the lens, if you got it all the way out, it doesn't lock. There's no lock on it. It's for twisting. So you hold it out, hold the welding glass on it, and try to find the sun. But by not looking into the hole, you got to look into the little viewfinder thing on the back. So I'm lucky to have gotten any kind of picture at all. But the moon shadow is sharp, but the edge of the sun's a little hazy. But anyways, that's my eclipse picture from its least above part. And a couple days ahead of that, I got a picture of the moon that was basically the same size. So I see people put pictures of the eclipse, and I said, you kind of faked that with a good moon picture. But anywho. And there's a lot of fake pictures out there. I saw a lot of them on social media, a lot of pictures of the eclipse that are absolutely fake. A lot of them next to water, and you have the sun almost touching the water, and those are fake. So, yeah, those are really neat. When they go from the full sun, and they put the little ones in the middle, and yeah, totally dark, just neat. There's some neat pictures out there. Grant stayed home and said, what's on the Weather Channel? Said, like, Helen, Georgia got dark enough to turn the street lights on, and that'd be cool. So maybe next time we'll go where it's total. One stayed home, one went to school. Grant went to Zero Block Band. Then he said he had done the math, and it was more advantageous for him to stay home. And I think that what that really meant was he didn't do his homework over the weekend, and he needed time to do it. So he went to Zero Block Band, but Jamie went to school. But I guess what, half the kids all went to school? How did that affect you? Yeah, worse than the first day of school. So you guys got food that went to waste? Well, we cut it down. Did you? Six kids in Caitlin's class. I heard there was 200 at Titusville High. And Titusville High is 1,200 kids, typically. Yeah. Chase had one class. Wow. That's crazy. A free day. Yeah, they said kids don't have to go. I knew kids that just weren't going to go just because they said you could stay home. So. And more wisdom from above. Me and the cat were cat sitting. I say we're cat sitting. The cat seems to have been there a very, very long time. So we changed the cat's name. The boys on the bus say my beard is the wisdom beard. That's what they call it. So once I became an elder and they said I needed to keep my beard, whether I will or not, it's a whole different story. But anyways, I just threw it in there. James, from about 3:1 through 4:12, he talks about causes of discord among Christians. And believe it or not, we don't get along sometimes. So he talks a lot about that in all the little sections. Chuck talked about the tongue last week. This week we're going to talk about using wisdom. And they kind of roll right in, going from the tongue to using wisdom. So how is a person's use of their words related to wisdom? Is there any relation between them? I mean, he just rolls one sentence into the next. Honey, does this make me look fat? If you answer that question, you know, the wisdom says you don't answer that question. Or you give an answer that's just a little bit wiser than saying, yes. You know, you can't just really just say that. There's wisdom in it that you have to use knowledge, use understanding of the situation to come up with the right answers. So there's some people who speak the truth, but it's a very heartful truth. They don't know how to tone it down, maybe. When to use it, how to use it. Any given day here in the church, the wrong sentence could send people home and never come back. And it's very, very tricky. In my short time of being an elder, I'm already learning some of that, is how to use wisdom, even more than I ever did before. So we'll kind of just roll in it. So James 3:11, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? No, Wanda says it does not. Anybody got any expertise with springs or anything? Yeah? You used to draw water from a spring? Oh, there's some wisdom right there. Yes. Yeah, if you stir it all up, you're gonna get silt, you're gonna get grass and whatever. My grandparents lived on a hill, and they had a spring in the hill, so that all their house ran off spring water. And the runoff from the spring water went down the hill they collected in a refrigerator full of goldfish, and then it went down into the bottom and spread out. But yeah, there was never much water pressure in their house, but it was spring water. So it was cold. It was cold water. It was cold and good. Probably the best sweet tea ever came from her house. I will say that. And probably the best coffee, too. The best coffee was probably her house. It reminds me of some of you guys, most people here remember. There was a guy that used to come here called Bill Barnett. Bill used to hold the door out front. I think there's a reason there's that horn out front is to tell Bill to come inside, but I'm not really sure of that. But Bill was from Iuka, Mississippi. And he would tell the story that Iuka, Mississippi had a park with six mineral springs, and each one of those springs put forth a different kind of mineral water. And he would always brag about the fact that, as it says on the sign here, that mineral waters from there took first prize in the St. Louis World's Fair in 1904. So that was his pride and joy of Iuka, Mississippi, was this mineral springs park. And anyways, I looked on the internet today, and that's where I stole this picture. And sure enough, there are six mineral springs, each with a different chemistry. It's in their springs. And the different chemistry, they say, is for curing different ailments. So one might be arthritis, and one was for beauty, and one was for, I don't know. But anyways, different water. So, so anyways, I just thought it was funny that, I mean, this park has six different mineral springs there. So they actually have different kinds of water coming up, not necessarily the same one, but close to each other. One of the problems people have here, if you live on a well, you guys got a well, don't you? You don't? No, okay. I thought your water was from a well. Oh, used to? City water. That's good. There's city water. If you live on a well, I know Steve Sharp Sr. lives on a well out there in Mims. And one of the problems with wells here is saltwater intrusion. It'll get saltier and saltier until, you know, you just can't use it for anything. And I borrowed this picture. There's lots of them out there. But basically it gives the idea. You got the ocean off to the right, and the water, it penetrates the ground, and that would be salty groundwater. Over here on the land, we get fresh groundwater. Somewhere in between, they kind of mix. And as the salt water keeps going that way, as you pump out more fresh water, the salt water will move that direction, and you'll end up with... So if you have a well that comes out with, it won't come out with both. You won't pull the tap to the left and it goes salt, and pull it to the right and get fresh water. But once it starts getting salt water, you're probably done with that well. You're going to have to go deeper or somewhere else. It's kind of the idea. I don't know that it's the best picture in the world, but it gives you the idea of how it works. But I know that's a problem we face here. Somebody told me one time there are no good wells east of the railroad tracks. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that. And today's version of that, the Coke Freestyle machine. You guys have used one of these before? Yeah? Huh?
I hate it.
You hate it?
Yeah.
You get mixed up?
I am not.
Technical? Okay. That's okay. That's okay. And that's, you know, I was looking for something like that. So what happens? Punch the wrong button. You go to get a drink and you end up with ice. You go to get ice and all of a sudden you got soda pouring out on your hand. Okay. And what happens if you push the wrong button or somebody else has pushed that button when you walk up there and you just push the soda, the pour button? You get the wrong soda in your cup, don't you? Burger King had instructions. I guess I took pictures of those one time. As simple as it was, you know, it's pretty simple, but even the instructions, it says push for ice. What does it say? Press for ice, push for soda, or something stupid like this. It's like, that's the dumbest set of instructions. But it is, it's possible that you're going to get not what you're looking for with this machine. You're looking for Coke, but you get lemon Coke or something like that, or Diet Coke, because you didn't look close enough and you got the wrong one. But it's kind of the same. It's got one well, but it's got multiple things that will come out of it if you're not careful. You ever seen the inside of one? It's full of syrup. They're like printer cartridges. They're rectangular cartridges, and they work off RFID. But they put these printer cartridges in, basically, and they put drops of the syrup into your soda stream. So they're really neat, and they've got a clearing thing where they clear out the tubing to get rid of the old and put in the new. And anyways, so that's just kind of today's version of a well that actually will put out more than one kind of water. But you're going to push the button to get something different. So how does it sound if we speak kindly at one moment but angrily at the next? Well, you know, about like a mom. Is that true, Kevin? It is true. It is raising kids. There will be things that come out of our mouths that, you know, I wish I hadn't have said that. I sound like my mom or I sound like my dad sometimes. Yeah, that kind of stuff comes out. And you're right, sometimes it'll be, you'll have both come out at the same time. But if you could rewind it, you know, if you could rewind it and say it again, would it come out that way? You wouldn't want it to, right? It depends. Well, there's, for correction, sometimes you got to correct something, and there's only one way to correct things, you know. Why I say that? It can be done different ways, and sometimes if you've had to say it 1,000 times, that 1,001st time is probably not going to come out real happy. It's even trickier if you have no recourse. It's your own kids, no dinner tonight, take away your electronics, go to your room, teaching Bible class here. What can I do to somebody else's kid? You know, not a whole lot. Let me go get your mom. Let me go get your grandparents. What happens if they're not here? You know, we used to have problems with the boys on the bus. You're not coming next week. That's how we, you know, that's how we punished them. You're just not coming next week. Or a month when things got bad. And they would shape up. But there's ways still to do it. But it can be very frustrating when you've got no way to recourse. I got a soccer team. I have 15 teenagers on my soccer team. What do you do when they get you upset? What do you do when they're just tormenting one another? Bench them. There you go. The rules of the league say I got to play them 50% of the time. They might play 50%. They might not play the position they want, yes. And sometimes you can pick that position and say, you're a goalkeeper second period. I don't want to be goalkeeper. You can keep that bench right there then. And that's, you know, And that's how you have to deal with some of that kind of stuff. It's tricky, and I've seen coaches deal with it absolutely the wrong way. One of the reasons I'm the two oldest teams that we have at Titusville Soccer Club, actually I'm one of the coaches, and part of that reason is not because I'm the greatest coach of all time, it's because I've got the patience and the wisdom of how to deal with those kids. So, and that's where it goes. But if we speak kindly one moment and angrily the next, you know, you can. I know Sunday lunch is the worst time for waitresses, they say a lot of times. People come out of church angry. They're not happy. I don't know why, but that's what I've heard. They go to restaurants and not happy. It doesn't sound good, right? It becomes hypocritical that I went to church, but there's nothing that anybody can please me anywhere. So they exactly. And they didn't do anything, and they can't do anything. Yeah. And it's passing it down because I can is sometimes what it is. I've seen people get pretty upset over some of the dumbest stuff. It sounds hypocritical. It sounds like, you know, Christ isn't in you, in us, if we do that kind of thing. So using the Coke Freestyle machine as a metaphor, how could we fix the problem? If at one time I have something angry coming out of my mouth and another time I have something kind coming out of my mouth, how do I fix the situation of what comes out of my mouth? Yep. Okay. So if I was this Coke machine, I would just, the best way to keep that from happening is don't push the button, right? There you go. Maybe add a little flavor to it. That's kind of what I was looking for. You ever had tonic water, soda water? That stuff's gross. I don't even know why that stuff's an option, but it's gross. And if you've ever had that, or you thought you got Sprite and there's no flavor in it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, what comes out of your mouth and what's interpreted that comes out of your mouth may not be the same. Things still have to be said. Things still have to be done. But, yeah, sometimes you feel that way. Somebody's got to take the burden of it. Well, like Kirk says, put a little flavor in it. Some of these flavors are pretty gross, okay? I've tried probably every flavor on the machine at some time or another, and some of them are absolutely gross. Some of them were, if you don't like what's coming out of your mouth, if you're the Coke machine, if you don't like what comes out of it, like Sue says, you push the wrong button and you got grape-flavored Sprite, and you're not a fan of grape-flavored Sprite, pour it out, fill it up with something different. So don't spit out grape-flavored Sprite. Once you realize that that's a bad thing to be spitting out, don't spit that out anymore. My favorite one on one of these machines is that Moe's. They have a vanilla peach drink that's only available at Moe's. It's good stuff. But anyway, I like it, but it's vanilla peach. So, all right. 3:12, can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. It'd be very rich. If you could get olives off of a fig tree, if you could get figs off of a grapevine, you would be very rich. Obviously, I stole this picture off the internet. Type in fruit salad tree, you get these kind of things. At the flea markets, I've seen fruit salad trees. I know with citrus, you can graft other citrus. So you can have seven kinds of citrus coming out of the same tree. You can have grapefruit and oranges and lemons and limes. But obviously this picture's a lie, okay? If you had a tree like that, there are no trees like that, right? There's no tree that puts out bananas, oranges, figs, and avocados. None? Are you sure? Gary? You've never seen one? How about two out of three? None. Okay. Different families. You just can't come off the same tree. And that's the wisdom in the statement. The jackalope? Yeah. Yeah, the jackalope's a great... No, you can't. Matthew 12:33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. And that's how we know each other, by the fruit that we bear. You can tell the kind of tree by the kind of fruit it is. If you, you know, you can see a banana tree without bananas on it and know it's a banana plant, right? Most of us have seen one and we know that's that way. Orange trees the same way. Oranges aren't on there all year. You can, if you're qualified, you can tell different trees with no fruit on them. But once the fruit's on there, it's easy. Any of us can see it. I usually tell the story with this. My father-in-law, Camille's dad, passed away 3 months after we were married. So I only met him a couple times. Well, what I know about him is by the fruit that he bore. You know, what I can see in him goes through my mother-in-law, his kids, his grandkids, is the fruit that he bore as a Christian man and as an elder. I can see that fruit, and I know who he is because of that. And that's a caution for each of us. We can tell, people can tell who we are by the fruit we bear. And moving on with Matthew 12, verse 34, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and your words you will be condemned." So when we talked about the well, if there's salt water in the well, salt water will come out of the well. Fresh water in the well, fresh water comes out. Banana trees have the banana DNA in them, so they sprout bananas. Okay? What's inside of us will come forth in our words and our actions. So if that is salty and evil, it's because what's inside of us is salty and evil. So using the fruit salad tree as a metaphor, how can we make sure that the world knows what kind of tree we really are? If you were really a tree like this, but you wanted the world to know that you are a persimmon tree. No, let's not use persimmons. Let's use avocados. If you had all that stuff growing out of you, how would you let the world know that you are truly an avocado tree? Huh? But a fruit. But how are you going to do it if you got that many fruits coming out of you? Get rid of the other ones, right? Okay, bananas come out, pick them, get rid of them. Apples come out, pick them and get rid of them. Just leave the avocados and people will know you're an avocado tree. Well, yeah, well, maybe you cut off that limb, right? Right? Okay, so it's a really bad metaphor, but anyways. But sometimes we're that way, aren't we? We spit out, there's all kinds of stuff comes out of us. And if you really wanted to hone in on who you were, you'd prune that other out of us. None of us are perfect, and that's kind of what we work on, is pruning the world out of us is what we do. So in James 3:13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." So how big is this contrast from what James had to say about the tongue for a few verses back? James 3:5, he says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." So the tongue in James 3:5, it boasts a lot. But once you get to 3:13, he talks about meekness of wisdom. So the tongue used properly is going to be in meekness rather than boasting. James previously warned about the dangers of teaching if teachers aren't qualified. So what great advice does he give us? And from verse 3:1, I had on there, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For if you know what we teach, for you know that we who teach will be judged with great strictness." So back in 3:13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." What advice does he give the teachers? It's in that meekness of wisdom is really what it is. Let your conduct show that. Brent's not here, but I use his name in vain. Or maybe not in vain. Brent's going to take on the education system for us. As he transitions into that, what advice can he take from this concerning the recruitment and development of new Bible teachers? Because Kevin and I are about as young as they come here for Bible teachers, right? And like it or not, we got a little gray and white hair. Oh, sorry, Kirk's the youngest. I'm sorry, Mr. Kirk, I left you out of that. But Kirk's a lot younger than me. Kirk's like 50. Enough, though. Yeah. Six kids will do that, you know? But we're going to have, you know, over time, we're going to need new teachers, okay? And maybe in a short time, maybe in a long time. But using this as a guide, but his conduct will show him, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. What kind of people are we not looking for? Or what kind of people are we looking for those Bible teachers? Yes, you can do that. Yeah, and there is. You're gonna. You can find a person who has a motive, for instance, and will only teach. Yeah, they have some kind of agenda they want to push, and they'll only teach on that kind of thing, or stay away from other kinds of things. Sure. Yeah, and you do find that. In churches, in religions, you'll find that. The gospel of prosperity, which is big right now, leaves out a lot of stuff. But it does talk about what God wanting you to prosper, wanting you to get ahead. He wants you to drive a Rolls Royce. You know, and they'll use that way, but they filter it out. But you're not looking for something like that. You're looking for somebody that takes it all, who won't have that agenda. What else are you not looking for? What kind of other teachers are we not looking for? Somebody that's got their own agenda? Yeah. Sure. The one who says they are the only way, they become the truth, the way, and the light at that point, right? When I went to the school of preaching, and one of the quarters was on, it was problems in the church, but one of the nights it was talked about titles. The guys who will use a title with their name. And you see that a lot in denominational churches. Reverend, Right Reverend, even Cardinal, Pope, Doctor. Okay? If you earn a PhD, you have the right to be called Doctor. Okay? That's really cool. There was a big controversy here a few weeks ago that it came out that Princess Leia from Star Wars got her PhD when she was like 18. So she could have been called Dr. Princess Leia, but she just went by Princess. But there are a lot of preachers out there anymore who want to be called and want that doctor as part of their name to emphasize that they're one step above everybody else. But it is. There's a big deal of somebody who wants to be the key to it all. What we strive for here is the Bible's the key for it all, key to it all. Very much so. Let's pull in. And there's some people who are very knowledgeable about the Bible, and some people who are very maybe opinionated. Some people who will push people away. There's some people who are quite knowledgeable that, by their own life, you would never want them leading a Bible class. And that happens. In the ancient world, as well as today's world, tended to admire a person who had a quick retort, who was clever, was in control. Does or did this meekness garner admiration? And it did at that time, or it does today. Do you see people like that? The people who are always quick with a condemning word. Definitely the newscasters. If you watch some of those news shows, I'm amazed at how quick some of those people are when they've absorbed enough knowledge that they can respond to callers. They can respond to people they're interviewing. Very negatively, typically, but very quickly. And it is. It still gets the admiration in today's world. They're still selling TV time with that. But that's not necessarily something we're looking for here. We're looking for someone who could guide us to the right answer. If we had wrong answers in here, that's always the big thing. People who don't want to speak up are always afraid of saying something wrong, right? I always was. I'm still afraid of that. In front of everybody, say something that's absolutely backwards. But in some people, put the right person in as a teacher, and they will shut you down for, where'd you come from? Did you come from that church over there or that church over there? Where'd you get this? But the right teacher will guide that towards looking at the right thing. And we're looking for that meekness, that use of wisdom. Christians commonly claim that meekness is power under control. So what kind of controlled power do we need to display? Actually, I'll give you the answer now. Non-assertive, helpful, gentle with the needy, abounding in kindness, wise. So you be like the spring we talked about earlier, you could have all that pressure building up, but letting it out in these ways. It would still be kind of controlled, I guess, but it would show up in these ways rather than drowning people with it. So. James 3:14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. If our hearts aren't governed by the meekness of wisdom, what will spring forth from our lives? The verse says you'll have bitter jealousy, you'll have selfish ambition. I think there's other places where they talk about the talents that are given and not to be jealous of one another's talents, but to develop your own talents, not to your spiritual gifts. Not to say, I wish I had their spiritual gift, but to continue to develop your own. We don't have a ranking system here, the best teachers, the best song leaders, right? We don't have a ranking of song leaders? No. No. You could probably ask, and somebody could tell you, my preference is, but we don't rank them, right? And there shouldn't be any competition of who's the best and such. But we are still developing and leading in that way. I thought they were going to toss down it for a second. I was just kidding.
Now, you make a good point. Kevin was joking with me. They're getting the bottom of the run today. So that's Kevin didn't sing this morning.
Yeah.
But that's, I know he's fooling around, but I know that's not true at all.
Well,
Kevin's an amazing song. He does a great job. Now, do Kevin and I lead the same way? Probably not.
No. Yeah.
And that, I love that. I love the diversity of such a way of doing things. The one that heads up the table, you, Matt, William, you all have different ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But, that mix is good.
That mix is
that difference is good. That diversity is good.
It is. And I've learned from years for the guys who have done it in the past. My prayer life is shaped by the guys who could do the 20-minute prayer, okay? Lloyd and Marion were always the kings of that, okay? I'll be honest with you. And so that's something that always developed me. But if we had a ranking system, we say who's the best. For instance, Lloyd being the best prayer, okay? What would we do? If Lloyd's the best guy to pray, you would always had him leading prayers, right? If one of you guys is the best song leader, we'd put you on every Sunday morning you're here, right? So once you're, what happens on a Sunday morning you're not here? The other guy hadn't had a good chance to develop, And like I say, if we always lead this set of songs, we're not feeding everybody. We're not getting somebody else to develop. So they're not going to be in tune with their rusty, necessarily. You will never develop more. And what happens when the day the number one song leader doesn't come back for one reason or another? So it is. And we're something I really like here is the same. We use a lot of us. We use as many men as possible to lead songs, prayers, even teaching. We have a good spectrum of that. And it is to develop. On this Wednesday night, we got singing night. That's something that I like. I've known people who show up and they're like, oh, it's singing night. And they look around to see if anybody saw them, and they'll sneak out. You know, and I've seen it. And that's okay. If you don't like singing night, I'm okay with that. And we try to make it known. It's in the bulletin. I'll make an announcement on Facebook. Let people know so they don't, if they're not interested, they're not interested, and that's okay. But the ones who stay by accident, I've seen some of them stay by accident, and they're like, I like this, you know, and they'll be back. But it's a time where we develop song leaders. Some of the young guys lead songs, and quite honestly, all they do is they open a book and they stand up in front of everybody today, okay? It gets to be more and more. Jay and Garrison are better than that now. Grant has developed farther than that. And down the road, those guys will put on microphones, stand on orange carpet. They will lead songs, you know. They will be song leaders and speakers and stuff. And it takes time. And we'll see that in our lives. It'll affect our lives, and our lives will affect that work. But we'll have that whole spectrum. I think we'll just leave that for it right there. James 4:1, once we get to that chapter next week. What causes quarrels and what causes fights amongst you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? So how do quarrels in the church with a little c, or in the church with a big C, often have their roots in selfish ambition from a lack of meekness and wisdom? And I put church, what's the difference between church with a little c and church with a big C? If you've never read literature, if you've never done Bible studies, read a commentary, read a set of notes, you may not know there's a difference. When they typically use little c church to represent the congregation. So here in North Brevard, we'd be a church with a little c. A church with a big C being the church, the body of Christ, church everywhere. So there's a difference in that, and I put them both in there, but how would quarrels in the church have roots in selfish ambition? And we just talked about that. If my favorite song leader, if I'm the guy, well, Kirk's the guy now. Kirk does, he distributes, he's responsible for who leads worship. If Kirk has his favorite song leader, and he puts that person up all the time, but he gives the other guy Sunday night, when he knows they really don't even like to come out Sunday night. So, where Kirk doesn't really like to lead singing, so he makes sure somebody else covers that, and he only covers when he's a sub. You know, but we've got that. How else could selfish ambition change things and lead to quarrels in the church? Not using wisdom properly. Having knowledge maybe, but not wisdom. Selfish ambition. Yes. Didn't In a small church, you can lead to a division in a church by, like you said, having followers. I like it this way. And all of a sudden, if I speak loud enough and I have enough friends with me, you know, I'm not happy with the lighting in here, or I don't like the orange, or I don't like whatever. You can actually get that whole group to go, let's just go start our own church where we have control over this kind of thing. And that kind of stuff does happen. In the big picture of the church, the Church of Christ is got a lot of different things going on in the brotherhood. The addition of instruments in worship, women as deacons in leadership roles with worship. A lot of things like this are happening, and a lot of it comes down to someone saying, I don't see any problem with this, and I have the ability to make this happen. And you'll see some of that kind of changes that are happening because, again, maybe somebody's selfish ambition, whatever that might be.
So,
it will. Yeah, right. There are still people who fight the law so hard that you couldn't get in the door because you're just not clean enough. Yeah, what do you need us here for? You're right. It can be that way too, and there's a lot of that going on. James 3:15-16. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. I guess I'll keep them. I've got a quote from a guy named Scott McKnight. Came out of our notes, really. Wisdom, then, for James, has to do with both a grasp of God's will and a life that conforms to that will. Wisdom, as can be seen in Proverbs 1:1-7, produces in sages and leaders following attributes: receptivity toward instruction, the moral virtues of righteousness, justice, equity, cognitive prudence, and instructions, and God can best be translated as skill. I'll let you read Proverbs 1:1-7 on your own. Finish it up, James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. These are so much different than the wisdom we see in the world. I know this, and this is how it's going to be. Wisdom from above will flow out this way, pure, peaceable, gentle. And in verse 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And that's the key to it all. That's what makes the church grow. It'll make the church continue, is that use of wisdom. So next week, pride and humility, James 4:1-10, and that will be Kevin. So I appreciate y'all. Thank you.